So when I was young, I was never a girl who dated very much. I think I was too tall, too independent. I had the glasses. I even had braces. Let's just say I wasn't too busy on a Saturday night. Don't get me wrong, I had a lot of friends, and I think even then the chaplain in me was starting to bud, as I was the friend that all of my male friends wanted to sit and talk about their troubles with. And that was nice, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted in a relationship in high school or even in college. A romantic relationship seemed unattainable, something that everybody else was experiencing except for me. I had some dates, but nothing seemed to stick. And then one college summer, while working at camp, I met Brian. I fell madly in love with this energetic, funny, and adventuresome guy, and he was in love with me. At least that's the story I told myself. Because you see, that wasn't really Brian's story. If he were here, he would tell you a different story. Brian was a young, handsome guy from a small town in northern Minnesota who was questioning his sexuality. In 1979, this kind of exploration was not encouraged or even talked about. His move to Minneapolis opened him up to other folks who were exploring and trying to make sense of who they really were. While in our relationship, this exploration was unbeknownst to me. I suspect for Brian, my role as his girlfriend was that I was a safe place to be in the world that was acceptable to his family. We did love each other. I don't doubt that now, but I'm sure you can see where this story is going. Eventually, and thankfully, Brian had the courage to come out, which was great for him. But for me, not so much. I was heartbroken. I was lost. This was my first major relationship, and it ended. Its ending colored my life story for a very long time. The story I began to tell myself was that I should have known. How did I ever imagine that he really loved me? For many years, this story made me question my own ability to know what real romantic love looked like. Our stories become the glue that holds our life together. Sharing our stories over time with others and with ourselves creates a narrative that defines how we see ourselves. It helps us to impose order on chaos, especially emotional chaos. And when there's change and turmoil, having a story helps us to make sense of things. How we form and tell our stories can also be a way of protecting ourselves. When we're scared or under threat, our stories can make sense of why we ran, why we got mad, why we left. And the more we tell ourselves those stories, the more real they become, even if some of them are not necessarily true. As you know, I'm a hospice chaplain. I often talk about the lessons that my patients teach me. And a big lesson that's lifted up time and time again is the letting go of old hurts. And this is a tough one because it has a lot to do with forgiving. Forgiving is a lot about letting go. The more I learn about this lesson, the more I learn that forgiving is often more for ourselves than for others. As we tell our life stories, it's easy for resentment and anger to narrate them and define who we are when we're clutching to old hurts. Our stories can be demoralizing, dangerous, and painful when they're manipulated or they have power over us. Choosing to let go, forgive, can be healing. Forgiving means that we change our story, that we're going to let go of the pain of that story and we're going to release it. Doesn't mean the event didn't happen. It means we let go of the power that that event or person had over us. It's important to note that we can't chart a new course until we find out where we are and how we got to that place. We need to sit with what was and own it. We need to reckon our stories with ourselves. Reckon comes from the old English word "recinen," which means to narrate. When we reflect honestly about our feelings, we can clarify. And then we decide where we want to go with our story. So back to my story about Brian. The end of our romantic relationship created a narrative that held me back from trusting in future relationships. I hadn't seen that Brian was gay. My God, what else might I maybe be missing? I really struggled with being able to trust my own judgment and perception again. I became very jealous and suspicious. Ultimately, I think I was just trying to protect myself from ever having my heart crushed again. A lot of us get stuck in the retelling and the shaping of old hurts that we can't seem to let go of. And because of this, we often keep tripping over the same issues over and over again, claiming those stories as truth. Ultimately, not allowing myself to trust wasn't serving me very well. Gratefully, I found and married a very patient man who puts up with my anxieties and fears. In fact, Joel and I just celebrated 30 years of marriage this week. Yeah. So that tells you he's been putting up with my baggage for a long time. Thankfully, though, because of his commitment, I was able to trust again. I was able to change my story. I was able to change how I perceived love. So now when I tell my story about Brian, it's with much more tenderness. I reflect on a young man finding his way and thankfully finding his true identity. I talk about how he taught me about the challenges of coming out and the rejection and hurt he experienced alongside my own hurt and loss. Now I understand that I couldn't have known that he was gay because when we began to date, he was just trying to sort that out. I realized that all the fear and all the pain that I felt as I moved into new relationships was more about my own insecurities. The simple act of telling our stories, we can reimagine ourselves. Writer and activist Terry Tempest Williams says that our stories are a sacred way of echoing our experiences. How we tell our stories to ourselves and to others is the way we begin to understand ourselves in relationship to things that happen. But here's the thing. I believe we get to choose how that experience is going to influence us. So how do you define yourself in your own life narrative? In my work as a hospice chaplain, I often notice that certain events in people's lives force a change, a turn, a different direction in movement. Here's some examples. My mom died when I was 10, and I had to raise my younger siblings and cook and clean while my dad worked on the farm. My dad lost his job, and we had to move away from all of my friends when I was in high school. I got kicked out of the house when my mom got a new boyfriend. My baby died when he was just 10 months old. These are the kind of events that change everything. And these are things that we don't forget or erase. They become totems or markers in our life journey. They can create deep and jagged crevices that can influence our life narrative and serve us in ways that are good, but depending on how we tell the story, may also be harmful. I'm not asking you to let go of those events. Those things happened. We need to know where we've been, what got us to this place. But with reflection and time, we get to choose how and where they will lead us. Last month was the Women's Fund of the Fox Valley. They had their annual luncheon. I was unable to go, but my book group last week was abuzz about the keynote speaker, Liz Murray. When I got home that evening, I looked her up and I found she had a TED Talk, so I watched it. She grew up in the Bronx in poverty. Both of her parents were addicted to drugs, and although they loved each other deeply, the illness of addiction was more powerful than any of them. Any money that came into their apartment went to drugs, and she was so used to seeing her parents shoot up at the kitchen table that as a child she didn't think much of it. When there was no money, there was no food, and she and her sister would knock on neighbors' doors seeking something to eat. Eventually, both of her parents contracted HIV, and at the age of 15, when most teenagers are at the mall or worrying about school dances, she found herself homeless. Her father was ill and in a men's shelter, and her mother had died of full-blown AIDS. Liz slept on trains and in parks, wherever she could find shelter. She was not in school at all, and she was in despair. But she shares that the event of the loss of her mother was a turning point. She saw her life change so quickly after her mom's death that she recognized or reckoned with herself about the fact that life changes. That even in this terrible chapter of being homeless and without family, life could change. She knew she could either let the narrative of her childhood define her life, or she could let it go and believe in what might be possible. She began to apply to get back into high school. She actually was a little bit too old, and many schools turned her down. But she believed in the possibility that the next school just might take her in, and one finally did. She worked very hard. She got all A's, and she graduated. And then she began to believe in the possibility that she might get into Harvard. And she applied. And not only was she accepted, she was also awarded a scholarship from the New York Times. Life changes. She's now taking that awful part of her life and has written a book about her experiences and is an activist and a speaker. Her mission now is to remind all of us that each and every moment is another chance, a new possibility. She changed the narrative of her life story. As I think about the old hurts that we carry around with us, I wonder if in this moment of possibility, could we choose to let them go? Could we choose not to let them have power over us? They'll always be a part of us and they'll influence us. But what would happen if we let go of how they bind us? What would happen if we let go of allowing those hurts to hold us back from being our whole selves? What would happen if we let go of anger or resentment that separates us from others? Families are complicated. That's an understatement, right? Roles and systems of dealing with conflict are built into place with families after over years and years of construction. Some of it's solid, some of it's teetering and unsteady. I bet you know exactly where your family's weak spots are. When I meet with families at end of life, I know I won't be able to change those ways of being together. But the reality of dying often stops many folks in their tracks. It creates an opportunity to change their story. Many of my patients will reach a point and decide to let go of old grudges or hurts and call a long-lost child or a family member or friend. That simple act of reaching out and letting go of whatever it was that caused that separation and caused that hurt to evaporate in just moments, especially when those two loved ones see each other face to face again. And in that moment, for that patient and that loved one, their story is forever changed. Life changes. I always say that my patients teach me how to live. So let them teach you too. I've said it before. Why wait? Maybe letting go is like the reading I shared earlier. She let go of all the memories that held her back. She let go of all the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good or bad. It was what it was. Our stories are how we stitch together the person that we become. So what will you become? How do you tell your story? To Today I invite you to think about how you will tell that story, how you will wear that story and be in that story. Is it with anger, resentment, or fears? Because those are often the footings for many of our stories. Or could it be possible to replace those footings with compassion, understanding, and grace? Folks like Liz Murray, who are able to come out of difficult experiences, share a common characteristic. They recognize that their own confabulations, and they challenge them. Confabulations means replacing a gap in one's memory with something that's not true, but what we believe to be true. In my story about Brian, I had confabulated that I couldn't trust someone to love me. But I've since changed that narrative. I can trust because I have people around me who do love me. And in the retelling of my story about Brian, I know he loved me. He just loved me differently than I thought. I realized that my fear of having my heart crushed again only left me alone. I had to take a risk at loving. I had to take a risk at trusting. And yeah, I might get hurt again. But I got to rewrite that story. I got to move forward. So as you leave here today, may you wonder about your stories. Are there some things that perhaps you're ready to let go of? Could you let go of old hurts and frame those times with reflection, compassion, and perhaps even grace? Because here's the thing, you get to decide what things will define you in your life story. Don't wait until you're on your deathbed when the time is too short. The possibility of rewriting your life story is now. May it be so.